PYM. We'll go over the weekend that was in the world of sports. We'll look back at Iowa and Penn State. Iowa State's win on the road in Morgantown against West Virginia. Take a look at the NFL, Major League Baseball, and a whole lot more. It's coming up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us right here on KGYM. And from our studios on the Southwest Side, we welcome you in to the Gym Class here at KGYM, presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. They're locally owned and operated. Stop on by. Hope you made it out to Third Base and took in some of the football or baseball action over the weekend. College, pro, MLB playoffs. Hope you stopped on by, or if you didn't, make your plans to do so. You have couple more chances to do that here this evening. Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. Good afternoon, Scott Unash, alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Mr. Kyle Mann on the other side of the glass, our producer. Once again, here today as we come your way from our studios. For a Monday, we're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up in about 25 to 30 minutes or so and talk with Mike about Iowa and Penn State and other things, Big 10, Big 12, Iowa State with a big win on the road. And how are you?
I'm well.
How was the weekend?
It was good. Speaking of the road, I understand you had a nice weekend with eldest son.
I did.
Down south in Kansas City. The game wasn't as you expected, but nice to take in a game, huh?
It is. And, yeah, thank him for buying tickets for us. And it was a good time. It had been, I think, 5 years since I had been there. Mm. And a lot of things going on. But, as I talked about in my sports view, some things change, some things don't change. Officiating gets horribly awful. And I say that for everybody. And all 32 teams in the National Football League, just not the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, I could pull a Will Cain and sit here for 30 minutes and complain and yell about my team losing and give every excuse in the book why, but I won't. I won't do that.
No.
Defense right now can't stop anybody. Period. End of discussion. Much like last year, but
and Houston's pretty good.
Houston's a good team. Yeah. And when you give anybody in the National Football League a chance to just sit there and throw the football without putting any fingertips on their uniform or anything like that, it's pretty easy to complete passes, especially when you have officials that are only there to throw defensive holding or defensive pass interference calls.
We'll talk college, but interesting developments in the NFL. Dallas gets beat by the Jets. Didn't see that coming.
Did not.
Miami nearly wins a game.
Washington does win a game. Somebody kind of had to win, didn't they? I don't know. Yeah, I was paying attention. It was interesting. We found a local watering hole on Saturday night. Forgot that Mizzou was playing as well, so it was Ryan and I and then two other people in the corner watching Iowa Penn State while Missouri was taking on Ole Miss. Oh, there was a couple TVs dedicated to the Blues game as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Blues lost to Montreal that night. But it was very interesting. And then somebody said, hey, I can't tell the difference in the uniforms between Iowa and Missouri, which I thought was very appropriate.
For one night anyway,
For one night anyway, as they were both wearing gold out there. 319-366-1600, the phone number. That's also the Hertina Stocker Jeweler text line. Hertina Stocker Jewelers located on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City. Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years.
Good ball game tonight. The Lions and the Packers.
Yes.
Lace it up. You can hear that game on our FMs at 7 o'clock tonight. Cyclone Sideline Show at 7 on 1600. Followed, joined in progress by Major League Baseball. St. Louis up against the wall, so to speak, against the Washington Nationals.
Yep, and I think a must-win game tonight with Flaherty on the mound for the Cardinals. It's not going to be easy Not going to be easy. It's a very good pitching matchup tonight, but the Cardinals' bats have been silent for the first two games of this series after scoring 10 in the first inning against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you got to do that to get to the championship series, but Washington has shut them down. And as we've said many, many times, many, many wild card teams have advanced to the World Series and even won the World Series. And we'll talk Major League Baseball coming up with Cal tomorrow. Looking forward to visiting with the major leaguer, former major leaguer, and major league coach right now.
Haven't gotten to Iowa Penn State yet, but text rolling in. We got a phone call waiting. And, it all added up last night. I mean, the stadium was striped. The uniforms were retro.
They were something.
Ricky Stanzi was there. The flyover. You got ABC. And also a 17-12 Iowa loss.
We'll talk about it because we want to get your thoughts. And everyone's had, almost 48 hours to kind of turn off the simmer on this one. And, look back on it and rethink and reevaluate. And we'll see if, I don't know if some people's minds have been changed or opinions have been changed, but perhaps they have been, or perhaps that things just percolated even more over that 40-hour span or what have you. 319-366-1600, and we'll give our opinions and talk about it. Iowa State with a big win on the road in Morgantown. It was a little bit dicey for a while, and Iowa State may have found their running back and their running game, and that is bad news for the rest of the Big 12 if they can put a running back together with what Brock Purdy is doing. That bodes well for Iowa State.
Breece Hall looked very good for a true freshman, and you still got Lang and others back there, but this kid looked like the real deal.
He did. And then you and I was in it for a while, and then it just got away in a big way in the back half of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter.
Putting it mildly.
And looked a lot uglier, and it really was. It was an 18-14 game in the middle of the third quarter, and it ended up, 46-18 or something like that? That's what North Dakota State can do to you. And it doesn't get a whole lot easier this Saturday as the South Dakota Coyotes come in to the Uni Dome to take on the Panthers. 319-366-1600, but we'll start with the Iowa Hawkeyes. We'll get to the phone coming up in a moment. We'll also get to your text here in a moment as well. Like I said, I was watching it from a distance. You were watching it much closer than I. Mark, your thoughts first.
Well, first of all, Penn State's a very good football team, and Iowa has a very good defense. Other than that, we know why Iowa hasn't won either or both of the last two games. And excuse me, that has to do with the offense. Certainly running the football. Stanley passed for 280-some yards. And
with the entire Penn State team on him.
And had his moments, for sure. But this Iowa defense really only allowed one sustained drive, or a dandy at that, a 15-play Penn State drive that led to its first touchdown. But other than that, Iowa was very stingy. It was the Goodson fumble that allowed Penn State to take over at Iowa's 16-yard line in the second half. That led to a field goal. I thought it was a touchdown for Penn State, but
I thought it was too.
Nevertheless, and then in the fourth quarter, the Stanley interception. He was under duress. This Robert Windsor from Penn State in the interior line caused all kinds of problems. There's a lot of focus on the defensive ends for Penn State, and they're both very good. But Robert Windsor gave center and guards all kinds of fits. And he was very, very good and pressured Stanley quite a bit. Got to him a couple times. And then that interception led to a Penn State touchdown that resulted in a 17-6 lead. I mean, two short fields, 10 points, that's 10 points for Penn State. So you can't say one hardly bad word about the Iowa defense. The Iowa offense, another story.
319-366-1600. Yes, Darren, I agree with you. I hope the Hawkeyes burn those uniforms after the game. Maybe burning, not so much, but you won't probably see them
Would you have said the same thing if Iowa had won?
We'll see. We'll see about that.
11:56 on the text line. We have a very good group of receivers and running backs, but they are wasted on a line that can neither run block nor protect the quarterback, and our quarterback can't hit the receivers. Well, I'll remind you that Stanley passed for 280-some yards. Brandon Smith made a brilliant catch for Iowa's touchdown. You can't really say that was a great pass by Stanley, but he got it to him. I recall a pass to Amir Smith-Morset that took Iowa inside the Penn State 10, which was a dandy. The guy's not going to be 28 for 28, people. And I give barely a passing grade, maybe a B-. But it had a lot to do with the execution of the Iowa offensive line and inability to protect in a lot of situations. So, you know, if it was easy to fix, I'm sure Kirk Ferentz and his assistants would fix it. But it's a little more complicated than that.
319-366-1600. Just my few observations here. Number one, we now, I think, know what this Iowa football team is. It's an Iowa football team that's not going to win the Western Division. And I think going into the season, we all agreed that we did not pick Iowa to win the Western Division. It's an offense that is going to look really good against the lower echelon Power 5 teams. It's going to look very good against the MAC teams. It's going to look very good against most of the teams around the country. Most of the teams around the country do not have elite defenses like Michigan and Penn State. Those are top 5 defenses in the country. A lot of people are going to struggle against those two defenses. I'm not giving Iowa a pass or anything like that. That is not what I'm saying. But unless you are executing and running on all 6 cylinders, you are not going to move a ball against Penn State and Michigan. And Iowa was not executing perfectly. Therefore, Iowa was not moving the football. And does Iowa still have a chance to have a very good season? Absolutely. You take a look at now the Northwestern game. That's now, a lot of people had that as an L. That's now a very winnable game. I don't know about Minnesota now. Nebraska, I think, even in Lincoln, is a very winnable game at this point for the Hawkeyes. And you can still piece together a 10-2 or 9-3 season. Don't give up on things as of yet. Like you said, those are the best two defenses Iowa, well, Wisconsin still, but two of the best 3 defenses Iowa will face. And hopefully the line will get better by then. Iowa's offensive line was disappointing. I thought Jackson and Wirfs were disappointing. You mentioned the guards in the center. That's something that's got to be shored up this week. Maybe we'll see if Kyler Schott can be back this week. That's got to help things, solidify things. We'll find out more with Kirk Ferentz tomorrow. Yeah, it's frustrating. I understand that. But I don't think all is lost at this point.
Well, it was the 5th different offensive line that Iowa has started this year because of injuries or what have you. Mark Kallenberger stepping in, at right guard for Schott and Cole Banwert. Banwert evidently out for the season. So when you have 5 different starting lineups, that doesn't do a whole lot for chemistry within that offensive line. No excuse, but just an observation there. Listen, I had this team pegged at 8-4.
So did I.
And you did as well. Looking at the October slate of Michigan, Penn State, Purdue, Northwestern. Purdue, despite a win last Saturday, has not lived up to expectations. I'm not sure Northwestern has either, but both teams still dangerous. I thought if Iowa could get through the October stretch 2-2, that'd be good. I did think Iowa would beat either Michigan or Penn State.
So
that
did
not
I.
not happen. But still a chance to go 2-2 in October and go into November at 6-2. It just appears maybe the best for this team would be 9-3. The worst probably 8-4. Not 7-5, 8-4. It's the way I look at it right now.
Yep. 319-366-1600. Wally is up. We haven't heard from Wally in a while. He's been patiently holding on the phone. Good afternoon, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing okay, guys. Mark kind of mentioned something I was going to talk about. you know, yeah, Stanley can't go 28 for 28. I mean, somebody went an obnoxious stretch of passes. Was it Stanzi? I can't remember. Anyway, that's not what I call to talk about. But, yeah, can't expect him to hit every receiver. And some balls have been dropped. And, yes, some balls have been, not put where they should be put to get the guy to catch the ball so you can get, I've been dying to say this, YAC, YAC, yards after catch.
Yards after catch.
Anyway, and the offensive line is up until the last couple of games, they hardly got any recognition last year as far as I could tell. But they started out gangbusters, I thought, at the beginning of the year. But I think the problem is there isn't a strong leader out there on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's what we're lacking. It should come from the quarterback. No, I don't think we should change quarterbacks right now. But I tell you what, if they keep losing ball games, they got to start thinking about next year. But I'm sticking with Stanley one game at a time and figure out a way to get somebody to become the leader. I don't care if it's a tight end. Somebody's got to be leading them out there on offense. I don't see it, period.
Yeah.
And that's about all I got to say. I thought 9-3, and I thought maybe 10-2. And now 8-4 is looking pretty good, but you never know. All right, I want to hear what you think about me saying the leadership thing.
Thanks, Wally.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call. 319-366-1600.
Well, there's two types of leaders. There's vocal leaders and those who lead by example.
Nate Stanley is not a vocal leader.
I don't think so. Wally may have a point. Maybe Wirfs and or Alaric Jackson. You know, you point to those guys. Those two guys are two of the top NFL draft picks, according to our latest gift from Dan Shonka, updated our lads.
But did not have good games.
I'm not sure they had poor games, but they didn't have great games.
Didn't have great games, certainly. Kyle joining us here in the studio.
Yeah, I'd actually like to back up what Wally just said a little bit. Coming into the season, I was among those who thought that the biggest question facing this Iowa team was Nate Stanley. Not necessarily because, you know, we didn't know who he was or what type of player he was, but because I tried to put it into words a few times. He just doesn't have it. He doesn't have oomph. He doesn't have, you know, whatever you might want to call it. This conversation's a little bit easier off the air, but he just doesn't have it. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that these last couple weeks because, don't get me wrong, there's a few things going wrong. I don't think Brian Ferentz is calling a great game. I think there's a lot of issues on that offensive line. But I don't think we've seen Nate Stanley respond under pressure really at all. You see him, as soon as he gets pushed out of the pocket a little bit, he has no clue what he's doing. He has no idea where he wants to go with the ball. And that is kind of what I could not put into words coming into the season was, how is he going to react? Can he stand there in the face of a really tough defense? And, you know, he's made a good play where he makes a decent throw and takes a hit or something like that. But in general, I just don't think we've seen, it from Nate Stanley.
Yeah, I can't disagree with all
that. It's
a
hard thing to describe, isn't it?
It is. Very hard. Very hard. Some good text coming in here. Doug in Coralville. Iowa's defensive line put as much pressure on Penn State's quarterback as they did on Stanley. But the difference was Clifford's ability to use his legs and make a play. Yes, very much so. Nate Stanley is not going to be confused with Randall Cunningham anytime soon. And that's just the way he is. That's the type of quarterback that Nate Stanley is. He doesn't have a big ability to run the football. He's pretty much a pocket passer at this point.
Well, it was on that second drive of the game that you saw Penn State really employ that option attack. Not so much a run RPO run pass option, but that option attack with you get several backs for Penn State. One stood out to me more than the others, but when you had that option with Clifford, and I agree with the texter, that Clifford was tough in situations, and KJ Hamler, the wide receiver number one, made some big plays,
including going airborne for that touchdown.
Yeah, 15:45 on the text line. I was at the game Saturday night. It seemed to me that despite all the other former players, teams, etc., present during the game, the crowd lacked the energy you would expect with this matchup. It almost seemed like the crowd knew what the eventual outcome was going to be.
Yeah.
Mm. 12:38. Where did the O-line go? A lot of hype after the first 3 weeks.
And 14:77, to Kyle's point, just look at Stansy. He wasn't brimming with talent, but he was a winner. Stanley lacks what he had. Now, Stansy had a pretty good stint in the NFL. Keep that in mind. But just different personalities. Drew Tate was the fire and brimstone guy out there for Iowa. We haven't had that fire and brimstone guy, really, since Drew Tate. And I'm not saying good or bad. It's just different qualities and different personalities for Iowa quarterbacks.
13:07, of the three legitimate opponents, Iowa State, Michigan, and Penn State, Iowa has zero rushing TDs by running backs and only one rushing TD overall, that being a quarterback sneak. Cyclone Tim, when playing Michigan and Penn State, turnovers kill them. Yeah, we talked about the second half fumble by Goodson and the interception by Stanley that led to 10 Penn State points.
Close games that Iowa plays, turnovers usually doom the Hawkeyes. 14:24, a little tongue-in-cheek here. Hopefully Reese Morgan is bored with retirement and will stop by and help with the O-line. Yeah, I'm sure Reese is happy in retirement right now, but we shall see.
Kyle on the text line, we have a third-year quarter starting quarterback who looks like a redshirt freshman. Could he hit a guy in stride more than 20% of the time? Our D is great.
14:46, whatever happened to recruiting quarterbacks that have a scramble ability like Brad Banks? Now, you aren't going to find a lot of people that can scramble that well. Petrus, the heir apparent, is more of a dual threat guy. Now, he's not, you know,
he's going to be playing behind the same offensive line.
Maybe minus that. Two tackles.
People forget that. I mean, if he came this year.
Oh, yeah. I understand. I understand what you're saying. I understand. I would agree. 3:25, we're going to get more of your text, and we want to talk a little bit about Iowa State as well. Cyclones with a big win on Saturday. We'll do that when we come back. Michael Loss is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes as well, Gazette sports columnist. So stay with us. More to come. It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere and you remember right after the place closes. Linder Tire gets it, so now you can make your appointment online at lindertire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment for tires or maintenance at lindertire.com.
Purchase a set of four select Yokohama tires by October 31st to receive an $80 prepaid Visa with mail-in rebate.
Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Right on their reputation for integrity and excellent service.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Today and every Monday, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Tune in from 4 to 7 right here on KGYM. Randy's Flooring. Local flooring experts by design.
We give a little shout out to our former colleague who's off the roof. Congratulations to Ryder and his volunteers. I'm sorry, Mark.
You got a little bit of mileage out of that, didn't you?
Yeah, he did. Rusty was happy too, though, so all the Tennessee folks around here were happy.
Should we spend our time on the roof of the KGYM studios until Iowa wins another game?
That is not happening.
It's not going to happen, is it? No, it's not going to happen.
For many reasons. Your phone calls welcome, your text welcome at 319-366-1600 as we talk Iowa and Penn State from Saturday night. I'd like to talk a little bit about Iowa State as well here at 328. 0056 kind of puts it bluntly. Iowa's just not as good as Michigan and Penn State, but they are good enough to hang tough. Which is...
Yeah, you lost to the numbers 7 and 16 teams in the country, each by...
less than
a
touchdown.
One-score game.
Or a touchdown less. Yeah, I mean, Iowa has won those games at times, but you have to play good football. You have to play almost perfect football, and Iowa did not. Offensive line wasn't great, and Iowa committed turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And
in both games.
In both games.
Yeah.
What happened in the Iowa-Iowa State game? Iowa State made the turnovers. Iowa did not make the turnovers. And
yeah.
That's a big part of sports out there. Let's see. What else do we have here? A lot of things. Defense looks great from 70-20, and I'm excited to see Goodson. I hope the defense can stay healthy. Most of all, I think we have a lot of young talent that is not ready for the spotlight. Defense is going to keep Iowa in every game this year, and I think that may even be the Wisconsin game coming up. Not saying Iowa is going to beat Wisconsin, because I think Wisconsin is the class of the Big Ten West, certainly. But I don't see Wisconsin hanging 35 on Iowa. Maybe I'm just being an optimist there.
We shall see. 60-19, Iowa caught in the 80s. With a lethargic drop-back quarterback with no feet. Chuck Long and Mark Vlasic on line one.
Chuck, the new assistant coach in the XFL, by the way, for St. Louis. Saw that today?
Chuck Long had feet for one play against Michigan State.
Yes, he did. And no one else in the stadium except he and Hayden knew what they were running out there. Iowa State. Nice win. Yeah, West Virginia is not the West Virginia of the last several years. We know that. But it was a 14-14 game in the second half, and Iowa State got the ground game going and poured it on. And the Cyclones are hanging behind Oklahoma, Baylor, and Texas. I think you can still throw Texas in there, even though they have one conference loss.
Yeah, Baylor barely escaped Texas Tech, which is... up next on Iowa State's schedule, right?
Correct. Iowa State goes to Lubbock this weekend.
Wasn't a great game for Brock Purdy. He's been tremendous. But this Breece Hall, once again, I thought was very, very good. I'm not going to compare him to David Montgomery because he's not David Montgomery.
Don't do that.
He, yards after being hit, he kept the legs churning. He had some explosiveness. Next game, he might carry the ball three times. I don't know, but I think that'd be a mistake for Iowa State.
Oh, I think he's going to carry it much more than that. Breece Hall was honored as the Big 12 co-newcomer of the week, by the way. 132 yards on 26 carries. And first freshman to record a 100-yard rushing game since David Montgomery back in 2016.
You talk about Iowa being tight end university, and it very much has been. in recent years. But Iowa State's got three very good tight ends, led by Charlie Kolar, who I read at some site has graded out the second-best tight end in college football this season. He's got three nice weapons in Saner and Allen and Kolar, and they also block well. I think that's a big part of Iowa State's offense.
Like Breece Hall, he was one of the two big-time four-star guys that Iowa State brought in as far as the backfield is concerned. And he might be the guy, by the way, cousin of Roger Craig, which I did not know. Read that in the Iowa State notes here.
Mm.
Bloodlines are there. Kansas Player of the Year, I do believe, last year. Down in Wichita. 3:33, we're going to take a break. Mike Kolas right around the corner. We'll talk Iowa, Penn State, and Iowa State with Mike when we come back here on KGYM.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or find them online at citytractor.com.
It is inevitable at this point. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. There are a lot of people still running Windows 7 because they don't want to make that change. I very much empathize and understand, and we all do at Network Computer Solutions. That's where we're here to help, to be honest with you and get you through that process to be able to keep your business run effectively.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats: gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline.
Back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3. Coming up later on, we have the Cyclone Call-In Cyclone Coaches Sideline Show at 7 o'clock, 1600 AM. We'll have that. As soon as that is completed, we'll join up with Game 3 of the Cardinals and the Nationals from our nation's capital on 1600 AM. Monday Night Football, Packers and Lions tonight on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Mondays on the Gym Class, Mike Kolas, very kind enough to join us. And, of course, Mike, the sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Kolas. And a lot of interesting things coming off of the loss to Penn State for the Iowa Hawkeyes on Saturday night. I think people have settled down a little bit, Mike, as far as social networking is concerned. But you'll have this when you have a two-game losing streak, even if you do lose to two very, very good football teams.
Well, I keep hearing that there are two very, very good football teams, but I only think that one of those two fits that description, and that's Penn State. I think Penn State's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I also think Penn State will go to Columbus and lose by two touchdowns or more. Michigan, I don't know. You know, Michigan played its best game of the year against Iowa, but I watched it play against Illinois Saturday on TV, and, you know, meh. So, but the thing about people settling down, well, I think it's just reality setting in. And the reality is that Iowa doesn't have the offensive line play to carry it towards being anything special. And it kind of stops there.
What do you make of people criticizing Nate Stanley? He's an easy target being the quarterback.
Yeah, nature of the beast. I wonder what Stanley would have done the last 2 weeks with an effective offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, look, Stanley's not the most mobile quarterback, and that certainly doesn't help when you've got jailbreaks. Iowa has had the occasional quarterback with mobility going all the way back to Brad Banks. And then, Drew Tate was mobile. C.J. Beathard, when he was healthy, was you know, made that 15 team so dangerous because he could take off and run for 30 yards if he had to and lay a hit on you while he was doing it. But Stanley doesn't have that. Well, you are what you are. So he needs help up front. He's not getting it. And as a result, it's not going very well. So a couple of weeks, just 2 weeks ago, I was really high on this team. But I would have to go back and really scrutinize why, because in hindsight, the three teams they beat at home were no good. They just weren't any good. Miami, Ohio, Rutgers, and Middle Tennessee. And when Iowa has faced good competition, it's been a struggle offensively, and they haven't reached 20 points in any of those three games.
In regards to Stanley, Mike, and then we'll move on to different parts of this Iowa game. If he never played another game, how would you characterize his career?
Well, he's got good numbers because he stayed healthy and he's thrown a lot of touchdown passes. He's had some big moments. I mean, his game against Ohio State when he was a sophomore was absolutely sensational. He's had four games where he's had at least four touchdown passes. He's had some road games where things went kaplooey. And, you know, he needed to make magic the last 2 weeks, really, considering the help he had up front. I mean, he got sacked 8 times at Michigan, okay? He'll tell you a couple of those were his fault, but we know where the majority of the fault lies. He took a lot of hits the last 2 weeks. I mean, he got beat up. But he's not going to go down as an all-conference quarterback, unlike Beathard or Tate or Banks. So he's probably in that next tier in the Ferentz era, the Stanzi, although Stanzi won an Orange Bowl and won 3 bowl games total, which Stanley could still do too. So I guess, you know, he's in that second tier.
Mm. It all comes back. I keep thinking that, and a couple of the techs were commenting on this as well. We've said so many times, and people hate it, Iowa is a developmental program. They get 3-star guys in there and try to make them and coach them up and make them big football players. When you go toe-to-toe against, and even a Michigan, you know, is Michigan great? I don't know. But Penn State is, and they got 4- and 5-star guys. And if you go toe-to-toe without executing and playing your best game, it's going to be hard for you to win. And Iowa committing turnovers, having leaks in the offensive line, other things go wrong, it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, it's the oldest story in the world.
It is.
Keep in mind that in the decade of the 2000s, Iowa owned Penn State. I mean, I think Iowa won like 7 out of 8 in one stretch. This decade, it's been the opposite. They've now lost 6 in a row to Penn State. Iowa has fared extremely well against Michigan. This year, I mean, it was a 1-score game, but they score 3 points and have one rushing yard. So this is not the year that we thought it could be not that long ago. And when Iowa's got it all together, it can obviously play with anybody in the
right.
Big Ten. But it doesn't have it all together, and it's it is wasting one of its best defenses ever, statistically. I mean, the Iowa defense is sky high on the national charts. And if you hold Michigan to 10 points in the Big House, and you hold that Penn State team to 17 in your place, and 7 of that came on a short field touchdown after a turnover, and they held both of those teams under 300 yards. I mean, they outgained Penn State by, 50, 60 yards?
Mm-hmm.
65 yards?
Yeah.
Iowa moved the ball better than Penn State did in the game, but not when it mattered most. And when Penn State got its last touchdown, short field and a worn down defense. So it's one of those, it's what makes the season to this point aggravating or frustrating, at least, because you say what could have been with that defense.
I've occasionally thought about this, Mike, not with any great depth, but what's wrong with 8-4, even 9-3?
It's all a matter of, I come back to what might have been. Some years that is terrific, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you feel like you've maximized potential. Maybe you got the big win. 3 years ago, they beat Ohio State, and I think that the Outback Bowl was just, didn't even matter where they went to the bowl game. They brutalized Ohio State. Or 2 years ago, I'm sorry. 3 years ago, they beat Michigan at home. And I'm sorry, I got 2 years ago, they went to the Pinstripe Bowl. But they beat Ohio State. Three years ago, they went to the Outback Bowl, but they beat Michigan. You know, they don't have that signature Big Ten win this season. They've got one more chance, and it's at Wisconsin. And the way Wisconsin's playing defense, you know, if you're Iowa, you're hoping to get across midfield a couple of times. So that's where it is. If Iowa goes 8-4 this year, I don't think it's going to feel as good as other years.
No,
maybe some other years.
I think it's Iowa's fault, Mike, and it goes back to those three straight 10-win seasons. And ever since then, Iowa fans expect one maybe every other year, maybe every 3 years. And it's not quite that simple.
Well, no, of course not. But also know that I'm not sure the Big Ten's an especially strong football conference this year as compared to a lot of years. And you got Wisconsin in that division, and it's almost like, I mean, you're going to have to be superhuman to win that division the way Wisconsin's playing. There's a lot of ball left, too. But Wisconsin is just, it's been merciless so far. I mean, it has 4 shutouts in 6 games. And I realize that the meat of their schedule is still ahead, but when you're doing that to people, and I think they've outscored their opponents by almost 200 points in 6 games, it's your year. Okay, but if the Hawkeyes had just gotten one of those last 2 games, then you can lose at Wisconsin, and you can still maybe get a 10-2. And there have been very few 10-win seasons in Iowa history that were disappointments. So, I don't want to beat this to death, but it was there to be had, despite how good the competition was, and it wasn't taken.
Michael Oss joining us at 3:47 on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. With that, everything being said, now it's a wounded Purdue team coming in. No Rondale Moore, more than likely. No quarterback that we thought would be there.
Although their backup was Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week.
Rutgers. And You got that ugly term must win coming up this weekend, I think. I don't want to be the one to throw it out there, but I know people are going to. Is this one?
It was the other team out of East Maryland.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Maryland.
Yeah, well, sure, it's must win. I mean, until you're eliminated from championship, you know, consideration, you got to win. Well, Iowa can't have any more scratches if they're going to be in that discussion, as unlikely as it may seem to some right now. If you're going to go to Madison and have a chance to be in the discussion for division champion, you got to take care of business the next 2 weeks. You got to beat Purdue at home. You got to beat Northwestern and Evanston, both teams that Iowa has stumbled against the last couple, 3 years. Purdue has taken a backward step this year, and you alluded to injuries. That's been a big reason. You lose Rondale Moore, who some people had projected as the player of the year in the conference, and it's going to hurt. And then they had a quarterback who was doing a nice job for them, Sindelar, and he got concussed, and then he got hurt again, so they've got a freshman playing quarterback. Well, you mentioned it. The freshman, his name's Jack Plummer. He threw for over 400 yards last Saturday. And they won 40-14 at home against Maryland. Maryland's not anything special either. But Purdue got it pointed in the right direction now here in the middle of the season. They're playing a bunch of freshmen. And freshmen were responsible for every one of their 40 points, I believe. I mean, not the kicker, but the quarterback, a running back, a receiver named Bell who had a big week, and even a freshman defensive back had a pick six. That's okay at home against Maryland. I don't see it working at Iowa at all. And Purdue ranks 129th in the country in rushing. I don't see that working at Iowa when Iowa's defense can pretty much know what Purdue's going to do. It's a different deal than the last 2 years when Brohm had some vets doing that stuff, as well as a healthy Rondale Moore. So the defense ought to have its opportunities, and the offense can tuck it in and play, you know, plain vanilla football against that Purdue defense. And I think that they ought to, you know, there's a reason why they're favored by 16, 17 points, and that should be about right. But, you know, if Iowa's offense is still stuck in the mud, you let any team get a little confidence and a little momentum at some point, and it's trouble. But I think that this is a game where I don't think it's going to be a particularly pretty game, but Iowa ought to go away with a win. If they don't, something's horribly wrong.
You know, Mike, I think adding to the angst of Iowa fans, they may not admit it, but Sky Umah is 6-0 and flying high, and Iowa will get a chance to knock off the Gophers later on. I know that game was at night. Minnesota took care of Nebraska, but this has got to be the most surprising team so far, I think.
Yeah, they are. They have won, what, 8 or 9 in a row total?
Something like that.
8, yeah. Not as good a schedule as Iowa.
When I saw them play Iowa last year, I thought, they're not going anywhere. I mean, they're not making headway. And then in the last month of the season, they were terrific. They won at Wisconsin for the first time in forever. And they won their bowl game. And then they play 3 non-conference teams of no distinction, and they squeaked past all 3 of them, but they found ways to win. And that, you know, sometimes when you do that, it does something to you, something really good.
Mm-hmm.
It does something really good to you. It might be better than playing the Middle Tennessees and the Miami Ohios. So with each week, Minnesota looks better. I still, you know, I mean, I don't know if they've got the rushing game is like it usually is, really good. I mean, they ran like crazy against Nebraska. And the defense seems to be pretty salty up there. So they're going to be 8-0 when they play Penn State at home, and that's going to be the biggest game that's probably ever been played in that stadium, at least involving the Gophers.
Yeah, that's true. The Vikings played a few games in there.
Yeah. So it's pretty fun to imagine if Minnesota could upset Penn State and come to Iowa with a 9-0 record.
Yeah, there's a little step in Sid's gait right now up there in Minneapolis. Hey, you got to talk about Iowa State because Cyclones are playing good ball, and they may have found their running back, the true freshman from Wichita, with Hall coming in there, Big 12 newcomer, co-newcomer of the week anyway. And we saw what Iowa State did just basically with Brock Purdy doing everything. Now they are more balanced, and when that running game kicked in, it went from 14-14 to the final score of what, 31-14, real quick in Morgantown.
Yeah, that was a good win. I mean, Purdy threw a pick six in the first quarter. They're behind 7-0, and it was tied at halftime, and you thought, oh boy, you know. And in the second half, they can just completely dominated the game, the same way they dominated TCU the week before. And they seem to be, you know, talked about Minnesota going in the right direction. Well, I think that's Iowa State's story for sure. They played their best ball the last 2 weeks. There's a website called Pro Football Focus, and they break down a lot of – they pick their conference teams of the week and their national teams of the week by position, and they had 8 or 9 Cyclones on the Big 12 team of the week, you know, including the two offensive tackles from Cedar Rapids, Bryce Meeker and Julian Good-Jones. They said that the pass protection was almost perfect. The run blocking that Good-Jones did for Breece Hall was excellent. And Hall, I took a crash course on him this weekend after hearing what he did. This guy's a 4-star recruit. Iowa State beat out some good programs for this guy. And it's like, and he's 6'1", 205. And, you know, it's not like, okay, this might be some one-hit wonder. It's, holy cow, this guy's got a pedigree.
And related to Roger Craig.
Yes, yes. A cousin of Roger Craig, and his stepfather played at Nebraska and played in the NFL for several years. So that's all good, you know. Purdy's been Purdy, which is a good thing. The defense has been, I mean, their defense is near the top of the Big 12 charts in most categories that matter. So they've got a game at Texas Tech Saturday, and it's one of those deals where they're favored, but you know how it is when you go to Texas to play anybody. If you're not sharp, you're going to get beat. And Texas Tech is a hard team to figure. They play everybody tough, it seems like. I think if Iowa State gets that win and can come home and beat Oklahoma State, they're 4-1 in the Big 12. And it makes November look really interesting.
Yeah, with Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Texas all coming up. And, Mike, really good insight. Appreciate it, as always. And read Mike's stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter at Halas. Always appreciate it, Mike. Thanks.
You bet.
Mike Halas joining us on Mondays here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Quick break. We'll come back, let you know the results of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 when we return.
This is Carl on his motorcycle.
Let's ride till we run out of gas!
And this is Carl off his motorcycle.
Balsa wood is very different than teak. People confuse the two.
On his motorcycle.
Hey! Check out that view!
Off his motorcycle.
Let's do puzzles in the break room.
On.
Look at all that open road!
Off.
Look how long my fingernails are getting.
You're better on your bike. Progressive helps keep you on it. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Know where you can find all your favorite Skechers shoes in one place? Skechers.com. Because at Skechers.com, we have miles and miles of styles of the most comfortable shoes on the planet. We have boys and girls shoes that sparkle and light up. Skechers.com has work shoes, slip-ons, sports shoes, casual shoes, canvas shoes, go walk, go run. The styles are endless. And on Skechers.com, you can find all the fits you need. Plus, so many shoes with Skechers exclusive air-cooled memory foam. So find all the styles, all the fits, and all the comfort. Only at Skechers.com.
Back with you in the gym class at 3:57 here on KGYM. We have our poll question up at KGYMradio.com, courtesy of Emil Sideway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and right next to the Home Depot.
Our game on the FMs tonight starting at 7 p.m. Who prevails tonight in Green Bay, the Packers or the Lions?
And before you just shout out Green Bay, not so fast, my friend. Is what, the Lions have won 4 in a row? Or something like that against the Packers.
Good battle tonight. Could tighten the division.
Packers are favored. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Definitely should win this game, but that's what we've said the last few times when the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions have gotten together. Speaking of Emil's Hideaway, the Emil's Hideaway pick six from this past weekend.
Indeed, it was a tight race individually. Todd, Dave, and yourself.
Me.
All 4-2, but Todd wins the tiebreaker.
I think I should get partial credit because I kind of was had my hand forced to take Sparty.
Well, you did, but you also took Minnesota by yourself.
I did do that.
And you won that one going away, so it kind of evened out.
All right.
Todd won the tiebreaker, which was most points by a Big Ten team over the weekend. It was 42, so Todd nearly nailed it. His and Alex's show went 11-7. We were 9-9, and we are now have fallen 3 games behind in the team race. We'll do it again on Thursday this week.
Yep, Thursday. We'll have it for you.
And in Solon picked Todd, and she won a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it. One of our great listeners, our loyal listeners down there. All right, Cal Eldred will join us coming up tomorrow. Kyle's also efforting to talk with Purdue and Texas Tech folks coming up in the next couple of days. Packers and the Lions tonight, 7 o'clock, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And we'll have the Cyclone Sideline Show for you at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM and then go right into the Cardinals and the Nationals. And with the as slow as these games have been going, it'll probably be in the third inning a couple hours into it. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Monday Night Football on the not yet